So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, text number 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Mahatmanastumam Partha Dabhim Pakatam Ashrita Pajanyananya Manaso Gyatva Bhuta Dumavyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Purport. In this verse, the description of the Mahatma is clearly given. The first sign of the Mahatma is that he is already situated in the divine nature. He is not under the control of material nature. And how is this affected? This is explained in the seventh chapter. One who surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of God as Sri Krishna at once becomes freed from the control of material nature. That is the qualification. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is freed from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. So, when one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. The Mahatma does not divert his attention to anything outside Krishna, because he knows perfectly well that Krishna is the original Supreme Person, the cause of all causes. There is no doubt about it. Such a Mahatma, or great soul, develops through association with other Mahatmas, pure devotees. Pure devotees are not even attracted by Krishna's other features, such as the four-armed Mahavishnu. They are simply attracted by the two-armed form of Krishna. They are not attracted to other features of Krishna, nor are they concerned with any form of a demigod or of a human being. They meditate only upon Krishna and Krishna consciousness. They are always engaged in the unswerving service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, I will never forget that Christmas season, I think it was 1974, it could have been 75, but we had done a great austerity of going out in all hours of the day and night, distributing books here, distributing books there, distributing books everywhere, not caring for eating and sleeping, but just being totally absorbed day for many, many days in distributing books. And after it was all over, we received a letter from Srila Prabhupada It was addressed to all the devotees in North America who had participated in this gigantic book distribution marathon. And he quoted this verse. Referring to us as being the great souls who are under the protection of the divine nature. Because we had fully surrendered ourselves to distributing his books under all varieties of austere conditions, risking being arrested, you know, having a gun put in your face, you know. Sometimes people would pull a gun on us. We were very aggressively going to all varieties of situations to push forward Prabhupada's books. So he was very pleased. Gave us this credit for being Mahatmas under the protection of the divine nature. So this is the choice we have. You really don't have any other option besides being a Duratma or being a Mahatma. A cripple-minded soul or a great soul. You have your choice. Do you want to be cripple-minded or do you want to be great? You can choose which you want. If you'd rather just be cripple-minded, then you can just stay under the influence of the material nature. And if you'd like to become a Mahatma, a great soul who's very dear to the Lord, then you have to put yourself under the Daivi Prakriti, the divine nature, by engaging yourself in devotional service under the guidance of the Guru, the scriptures, and the Vaishnavas. So in this way, one can actually come out of the very unpleasant position of being a Duratma. What is the difficulty of being a Duratma? Temporality, ignorance, and misery. These are not very satisfactory conditions. Temporality, ignorance, and misery. The Mahatma, on the other hand, experiences eternity, knowledge, and bliss. That's the position of the Mahatma. So you can go either way. You can say, well, I kind of like to have a little of both. Can I have a mixture? No. You have to go one way or you go the other. If you don't go full on to being a Mahatma, I guarantee you, you remain a Duratma. You may think that you're a great person in the mode of goodness. You will simply be another variety of Duratma. That's all. If you don't go full on into pure devotional service, you must remain in the modes of material nature. Tripir gunamaya vayavaya. Ebi sarvam idam jagat mohitam navijanati mamevya paramavyam. Deluded by the three modes, goodness, passion, ignorance, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. So the intelligent person, the fortunate person, the wise man, the wise woman, these persons will take advantage of the mercy of Krishna and Guru and Sadhus, and they will engage themselves in the devotional service of the Lord, knowing full well that that Lord is original and inexhaustible. Such personalities will not be deluded. You can be under the protection of the divine nature and be free from delusion, or you can be under the influence of the material nature and be deluded. You can't actually be enlightened unless you're in the divine nature. They try to become enlightened while they remain within the mundane nature through mental speculation. But it doesn't work. It does not work. All they can do is think that they're enlightened. This is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Aruya Krishchena Parang Padam Pada Patantyato Nadritya Yushmad Angreha. Those personalities undergo great penances and austerities to achieve that Brahman realization. But what does Bhagavatam say? It says, Vimukti Maninas. Vimukti is liberation, and Maninas means in the mind. They only think that they're liberated. They're not actually liberated because they have not become an actual Mahatma. They may be a shadow of a Mahatma by engaging in pious activities, meditating, so many things. They may be sometimes called Mahatmas, but actually they're simply a less dharatmic version of dharatma, that's all. Unless one actually comes to the position of knowing Krishna, you see, and being fully engaged in devotional service, then one remains a dur atma. So our Krishna consciousness movement is a very simple formula. It's not some complicated algorithm. It's a very simple formula. For social upliftment, our simple program is that every man, every woman, and every child on the face of this planet should be educated how to be a Mahatma, how to give up being a Duratma, and how to become a Mahatma. That is the simple program of our Krishna consciousness movement. We want to create a revolution in the field of education, that everybody will be educated how to be a Mahatma. That's the purpose of education. Nowadays, education is simply how to become more of a Duratma. Just like they have one program of supposedly for educating the young boys, they call it the Boy Scouts of America. The boys are supposed to learn all kinds of nice skills, you know, how to tie knots, how to build a campfire, how to pitch a tent, you know, how to recognize poison ivy when you go out in the woods. It's supposed to be a very good training to make a boy more of a man. But what do you learn when you go into the Boy Scouts? You learn, I know, I had never heard any swear words in my whole life, but when I went to the Boy Scouts, then I learned all the swear words, you see. So what is this education? I didn't even know what they were talking about. What is this? I didn't know what they were saying. It was completely foreign to me. This is supposed to be, you know, one of the items of the scout was the scout is reverent. It was supposed to be something to build character, but actually I was degraded. And this was a troop of the church that I went to. This was the scout troop that was associated with the church that I went to. So through the church, I actually became degraded. You see. I never knew, I didn't know any swear words. But I learned the swear words through my church. It shows you how topsy-turvy the situation is. I learned swear words through my church. Through the associating with the boys from my church and the church scout troop. So we need to make a revolution in the field of education. One person aptly referred to high school as whore school because the girls are taught how to become prostitutes. And they do. They become prostitutes in the school system. So, there is drastically needed a revolution in consciousness, that everyone shall be taught how to become Mahatma. The parents must become Mahatmas. They must teach the children how to become Mahatmas. The teachers must be Mahatmas. They must teach their students to become Mahatmas. The political leaders should be Mahatmas, teaching their dependents, their citizens, how to be Mahatmas. The spiritual masters should be genuine Mahatmas, not these so-called bogus that these so-called gurus are simply bogus, simply making money in the name of guru. Charging money to initiate you, diksha, how much money you pay for diksha, the fee for diksha. I was initiated by one of these Dharatma gurus. I had to pay the equivalent of 1 month's rent, and that was the discount for students, because I was a student. I had to pay the equivalent of 1 month's rent to get diksha. And it had absolutely no value. They should have had a money-back guarantee, at least, because it didn't work. I didn't. Sampradaya vihina yai mantrashte nispalamata. That mantra had no potency. Actually, it was bona fide mantra that Prabhupada also gave me. Part of our Gayatri mantra, Aim. It's a seed mantra, Aim. When our Gayatri mantra, when we chant Aim Gurave Namaha, the Aim syllable is there. So this guru gave me Aim all by itself. Aing, 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 aing. And I didn't get any benefit. It was supposed to take me into transcendental bliss. But instead I became more miserable. Because I put my faith in this guru and he cheated me. He ripped me off, you see. I came innocently thinking he could save me from my anxiety and my depression, but lo and behold, he left me even more miserable than I was before I came to take shelter of him. So the gurus also, they must be genuine mahatma. If one cannot deliver his disciples from the cycle of birth and death, he should not sit on the Vyasasana. You see, he should not take the post of guru unless he can deliver his students from the cycle of birth and death. So we need to establish a society where people are actually being taught how to become Mahatma and escape the cycle of birth and death by guiding people how to actually take shelter of the Lord in full devotional service. So, are there any questions?
Yeah, and one question. I was thinking during the day, I was listening to some of the conversations in which, there was reference to the moon mission. So, I wonder.
Reference to?
Moon mission.
Moon mission, okay.
So, and I've heard even within ISKCON, I've heard some devotees say that we landed on the moon so I wanted to know what your opinion on
what is?
They say some devotees have opinion that we landed on the moon and some don't, so what is your opinion?
Yes, actually Prabhupada himself said different things in different times and different places. And now now India plans to do it also, you see. That's the next plan. India, unmanned moon landing, and that's of course the step for a land. But Prabhupada explained, the spaceship is a valid means of travel. Mechanical spaceships are a valid means of travel into outer space. Prabhupada actually mentions that in one place. There's a very nice article. I think the best expression of it was an article by Jayadeva Swami. He's written a very nice article which is posted on his personal website. Very nice article. It's actually from B2G. I would I would recommend that is the best way. I mean, I really side with Jaitarya Swami. I go along with Jaitarya Swami's perspective on the whole
issue. I want to ask you a question regarding this. India is considered third world, and they're going to send them only the equipment there. What are they going to benefit?
That's another issue.
Yeah, but they could be using that money for uplifting the country.
Yeah, that's a valid point, but he was asking what my position was, whether we go to the moon or not. That's the issue at hand.
But as you brought out about the India side.
We agree with you. Absolutely correct what you're saying. But it still leaves the issue on the table. Do I feel we went to the moon or not? That's the question.
I know.
Yeah. No, your point is a very good point. We all agree with you 100%. What happened when did NASA knowingly cheat us? Some people say yes. It was just the whole thing was staged in the Arizona desert, and they knowingly cheated us. There are many actually non-devotees who are putting forward this argument, and they even give the example of one former astronaut who wanted to come clean and testify to one of these people who said it was a hoax, and he ended up mysteriously dying. He and his wife both. He called up and said, "I want to come and meet with you," and then he was dead. So there's all kinds of interesting conspiracy theories out there. Another possibility is that they actually thought they went to the moon. And because the moon is a heavenly planet, they were actually diverted by the mystic power of the demigods to go to another planet, and they didn't actually land on the moon. That's another possibility. They were diverted to the planet Rahu, which is invisible from here, but they actually got diverted to Rahu by mystical powers, and actually landed on Rahu. Another version is that they actually landed on the moon, but they didn't actually clear customs. You know what I mean? And they didn't enter into the actual atmosphere of the moon. They couldn't. In other words, the moon is a heavenly planet. And there's celestial palaces there, celestial cities, the beautiful inhabitants, but it's all invisible to us, just like a dog can hear sound vibrations that we can't. Our senses cannot perceive it, so our eyes can't even see the moon civilization. Even if we landed on the moon, we probably wouldn't even be able to see it. So there's all kinds of theories. Prabhupada very clearly stated, according to the Vedic conception, the moon is further away than the sun, and therefore they didn't go. They actually didn't go. That opens up a whole other can of worms about Vedic cosmology. I have complete faith in Prabhupada's words. I don't think that Prabhupada was old-fashioned. He was some fuddy-duddy who just blindly accepted the Vedas, and we really have to be more open-minded now and not blindly take everything that Prabhupada gave us, thinking that he's an old man and, you know, he meant well, but we should not think that way. We have to understand that Srila Prabhupada is a perfectly self-realized soul. He has perfect knowledge of the spiritual world and the material world. We have to understand that this material world is not what it appears to be. The scientists have very expertly sold us a pack of goods, but they don't really know. The real fact is, I met with at the University of Florida many years ago. I attended a seminar of scientists there. One big scientist came in, the one who was at that time popularizing the black hole theory. About 3,000 science students and professors showed up for this evening presentation on the campus. So I asked him, sitting there in my brahmachari, saffron dhoti and shaved head with big tilak, in the midst of all these scientists. I asked him, is this a theory or a fact? He said, I think it's a fact. not the word I think. So then a couple of more questions came in, and I got my hand up again. I was recognized, and I said, throughout the history of modern science, we see that one theory has come into popularity for some time, and is defeated by another theory, which then becomes the accepted scientific truth. So how do we know that your theory, you know what I said, theory, he just said it was a fact. It was a real loaded question, really a loaded question. How do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? He said, I hope it is. Because then we will be making progress. So this is their science. Their whole measurement of outer space, the relationships between the planets, is subject to being redone at any time, because that's the way their science works. The fact is that the Vedic cosmology has never changed, and it has accurately predicted solar and lunar eclipses for thousands of years. Thousands and thousands of years, you see, before their science even existed, this was accurately predicting lunar and solar eclipses. So why should we give so much faith to them? Even back in the 60s, in the countercultural movement, there was one song where the songwriter said, I saw the great bleed, the great blunder my teachers had made, scientific delirium madness. So we really shouldn't just blindly accept what the scientists are spoon-feeding to us. We really shouldn't blindly accept it. I will side with Prabhupada all the way. That we didn't go to the moon. Did not go. Prabhupada made it very emphatic. We did not go. But then, for the sake of argument, well, even if we did go, as Mataji is pointing out, what's the use of all that expense? And for the sake of argument, you know, you insist, no, we went to the moon. All right. We went to the moon, and what is the good of it? You see, if it's such a great thing, then why they haven't started a civilization up there? Why they now want to go to Mars at another great expense? What have they accomplished by going to the moon?
They wanted to start the civilization there, but they are not. They went there.
Yeah, now some famous scientists are saying the only way the humans... There's some famous physicist, what's his name? I forget his name, but he's saying that Stephen Hawking, he's saying that the only way humanity will survive is if we can find some planet out there. The Earth is just been destroying itself by all, you know, human civilization will eventually be destroyed on this Earth planet. He said the only way humanity can survive is to, you know, find some other planets where we can live without depending on the Earth to maintain us. That's what he's saying. This is a recent great proclamation of truth, speculation. Actually, the desire to go to other planets is natural because we are spiritual beings. We have full freedom of movement to travel anywhere and then all of God's creation. So the desire to go to the moon, desire to go to Mars, these are a natural thing. Everybody likes to go traveling. So why we should be limited just to this planet? But if you want to, just like someone from India wants to come to America, don't they have to get a visa? Can they just show up? No. You just show up from a country that's not authorized to come in automatically, they'll put you back on the plane, they'll deport you. The next flight out. So we may try to gatecrash our way into the moon planet or the Mars planet just by physical force, but if we don't have a visa from the moon god or the Mars god, we'll be booted right back. Actually, there's all kinds of things about the moon launch or the moon excursions which make them very, very questionable. Even you take the footage from NASA and you look at it very carefully. There's many, 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 many things that look very, very suspicious and fishy. That make you wonder, well, maybe it was staged in the Arizona desert. Or even if it wasn't, maybe they did end up on the Rahu planet by, you know, they were just diverted. Because they weren't qualified. To pious, they didn't have the sufficient. See, Rahu is a sinful planet. They're qualified to go there. But they're not actually, the earth beings are not qualified to land on the moon. They don't have a visa of sufficient pious credit to go there. Srila Prabhupada was so emphatic we didn't go to the moon, that the moon was further away than the sun. This, when this controversy came out, instead of hiding it and putting it under the carpet, you know what he did? He had them print an article in Back to Godhead magazine to make the point even more promoted to the general public that this is our Hare Krishna position on the moon landing. He had Satsarupa Maharaj write an article for Back to Godhead. Prabhupada wanted to push it forward, not to hide it. And Prabhupada was very bold. He wanted to not brush it under the carpet, but push it forward. So I stand firm by Prabhupada's position. We did not go to the moon. Didn't go. You can call me a fanatic. Well, you call me a fanatic, I'll call you a cop-out. You've left. You don't have your. You call me a fanatic. I say that you have no faith in Srila Prabhupada. And you're at fault, not me. Some critics say that we glorify Prabhupada too much. We have too much faith in him. I say that they are Pashandis. They are great offenders of the lotus feet of Jagadguru, the spiritual master of the universe. So time is, we'll have to save any further questions for during Pashadam or tomorrow morning, because time is, we're getting up early again and it's 8:30 already. Early to bed, early to rise makes a Hare Krishna devotee healthy, wealthy and wise. That's a little twist on Benjamin Franklin. Okay, we'll stop here. And Raja Vidjar, Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Thank you for sharing your sitting.